Well, it's Mother's Day 2020. Well, it's not. Last week was. But we're continuing a lesson that we began last week as we honor mothers. And as we think about the raising of children, I guess this lesson has kind of evolved from talking about mothers to talking about the work of mothers, and that you really can't separate the two. And so we talked about last week the blessings and the wonderful things that mothers do for us, but also the grave responsibility of raising children. Raising children in the 21st century is not easy. Raising children in the 20th century wasn't easy. Raising children in any century is not easy. I suppose it's never been an easy job, and so there is instruction given from God, the wisdom that is from above, from God, to guide us and to help us. And so we made three suggestions last week, and we'd like to look at three more today. The first one we talked about last week was passing on your faith. And when we talk about passing on your faith, we're talking about passing on the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, passing that on to your children, teaching them that God is always the number one thing. Not sports, not schooling or education, not music, not other things they may enjoy, and those things are good and fine in their place. And our children enjoyed those things, and they were good for them. And your children will enjoy some of those things, but that's not the most important thing. And so we teach them at an early age that God is the number one thing. And setting priorities. We talked about setting priorities for our children. First things first. What's really important in life? Today, tomorrow, and always. And thirdly, we talked about building in your children their own faith. We talked about passing on your faith or the faith. But we want to pass it on in such a way to give them reasons that the Bible is true. It's not just myth. It's not just fantasy. It's not just legends that have been made up by men, as many religions are. But it is truth. It's the true and living God who created the heavens and the earth and sent His Son into the world. It's the truth of an almighty God who made all things and set all things in order. It's the truth of an almighty God who established His ways that we might know Him, and that we might partake of the divine nature, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of life eternal. And so we're talking about the true God and helping them to see that and understand that, to get it into their hearts, get it into their minds, that it becomes their faith, not our faith, what we believe, but because they believe it. And so today we want to talk about three things, four, five, and six in our lesson. Teaching your children responsibility, teaching your children the principles of stewardship. I believe that one's so important. All of these are important. And teaching your children self-control. And there could be a dozen other things that we need to teach our children that we could talk about. But these are just a few to focus our attention on the grave jobs, the important jobs that our mothers have. And so we honor mothers. I was blessed to have a wonderful mother that raised me. My wife was blessed to have a wonderful mother that raised her. She's still living. She's 91, right? 91? Soon to be 92. But a wonderful mother-in-law and a wonderful mother, and did a great job with her children, all faithful Christians. And so we've been blessed, and I know many of you have been blessed. And so we have these... We have many things we could say, but just a few as we touch on them and continue today. And so point number four, today's number one point, but point number four in our lesson is teach your children to be responsible. Well-behaved children don't happen accidentally. It takes time, it takes patience, it takes hard work. You may see in small letters there, my sister Mary, to remind me to tell you about my sister Mary. She is... now gone, as many of you know. Passed away from cancer a few years ago. But Mary was a great mother. She raised four really fine boys, and she worked very hard at it. And I remember one time us talking about it, and she said that someone said to her one time, you're so lucky to have well-behaved children. And she kind of had to bite her tongue, and she said, I wanted to say, luck had nothing to do with it. I've worked hard to raise these boys. Now, she knew she wasn't perfect. She knew she didn't always make the right decision, but she worked very hard to raise them in the Lord. And that's exactly right. Luck has nothing to do with it. If we're planning on luck to get us through the raising of our children, we misunderstand what our jobs as parents is all about. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes work. The parable of the talents teaches us about personal responsibility. We have personal responsibility as parents to train and teach our children. But we also need to be teaching them personal responsibility. And I don't have to tell you probably, and we're not going to take the time to read the parable of the talents in our lesson today, but from Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14 and following, you remember that parable, how that a man went on a journey and he left three of his servants in charge of his goods. He gave to one man five talents, to one two, and to one one. And he went on the journey, and when he came back, he called them into account and held them responsible for how that they had taken care of his goods. And it says that the master gave them talents according to their ability. And there's a lesson there for us. God gives us talents according to our ability. He does not expect too much of me, but he doesn't expect too little of me either. And so as we learn about responsibility and teaching responsibility, we have to understand we need to teach our children to accept responsibility. We need to teach them and train them. And as the master gave talents according to their abilities, each of us need to realize the abilities that we have. God's not going to expect too much of us, but he's not going to expect too little of us either. He wants us to meet our responsibilities. And when the master came back and that third man, the one talent man, began to make excuses why he had just buried his talent, the master didn't accept his excuses. And God's not going to accept our excuses. And we need to pass that on to our children, that they understand that they need to be responsible. They need to be responsible about their things. They need to be responsible as they grow up and taught about taking care of their toys and not destroying things and not destroying the house and all the responsibilities they need to do to help around the house and to do their jobs. We teach them at a young age. And so they need to accept responsibility and learn that. And the one talent man was held responsible by the master. He was called into account. All three of them were, in fact. Two had done well, but the third had not. But when the master returned, he called them into account, and they had to give an account of what they had done. And God will hold us. So we need to understand these principles, and our children need to understand the principles. And so we need to be teaching responsibility. And there's a lot of good resources. Some of them are not so good, and so you have to be careful. But there are books, and there are things on the internet for teaching responsibility and raising children and helping our children. And you can look there and just be careful and examine there and make sure that you're being guided by the truth of God's word. I threw in older women there. The Titus, Paul says to Titus about the older women teaching the younger women. Our younger women should take advantage of the older women and the experience that they have in training and raising children. Those are all resources that you should be able to use. Start at a young age. As we're teaching our children responsibility, we start at a young age. I looked on the internet the last couple days as I was working on this lesson and went to some websites, and one gal made a good point, I thought, and so I included here. She was saying our rule in the house was we always clean up our own mess. And I started teaching my children at a very young age. If they spilled, if they made a mess, they had to help clean it up. You know, of course, when they're very little, they couldn't clean it up by themselves. They may not really do anything but just make it worse. But she at a very young age, she would say, you help. Here's a napkin, or here's a paper towel, or here's a rag. You spilled your milk. You can help mommy clean this up. And so at a very young age, she learned, you know, accidents are going to happen, but we clean up our own mess. That's teaching them personal responsibility. And don't always do it for them. Teach them. Coach them. Help them. But don't do it for them. Clearly outline tasks. The teaching of organizational skills is very valuable. And so that should be taught to children. Obviously, as we talked about before, modeling it, setting the example in your own life, being responsible. Children need to hear when we make a mistake that we own up to it. That's very valuable for a child to hear mommy or daddy say, I made a mistake and I'm sorry. And we should all be humble enough to realize that we make mistakes. We make mistakes in things that we say. We make mistakes with our temper. We make mistakes in other ways in our life. And we need to admit that to our children. Admitting that to our children does not show weakness. It shows strength, really. It teaches them it's okay to admit our mistakes. That's taking responsibility for our actions. And don't bail them out. Teach them that there are consequences. And make sure they understand there are consequences for disobedience. Well, more could be said, but those are some of the ways, I believe, that we can begin to teach our children responsibility. They need to understand that. They need to know that. Number two today, number five overall, is teach your children the principles of stewardship. Again, from Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents, we have the idea of stewardship. A steward was one who watched over the things of another individual. And so we saw in Matthew 25, the master leaves and goes on a journey, and he leaves three of his servants. They're called servants there. But really it's the same idea of the idea of a steward. A steward was one who was responsible for the possessions of another. And there's an important Bible principle that we need to grab ourselves, if we haven't yet, and that we need to teach to our children. And that is that we are stewards and not owners. God is the owner of these things. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all the things that dwell therein." The earth belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 says, "We brought nothing into the world and we're going to take nothing out. We came into the world naked and we're going to leave naked." We think we're going to accumulate all these things in this life, and what's going to happen to them when we leave? The writer of Ecclesiastes, other books of the Bible, remind us of those principles. And so we brought nothing in, we're going to take nothing out. And finally, we're going to give an account to God. Once again, the idea of personal responsibility, but stewards must give an account. The master in Matthew chapter 25, he didn't return from his journey and then the stewards held him to account. "Well, boss, how did you do on your trip? How much money did you make? What did you do? How did you use your time?" No, that's not their place. That's not their position. They had to answer to him. And we must answer to our God. We must give an account to him for the things that we do. Notice some areas where we have stewardship before God. He is our creator. Remember, he's our creator. He's our maker. Our bodies are a matter of stewardship. He's given me a physical body to use and to live in this world, and I need to take care of what he's given to me. Our money, our possessions, our material things are a matter of stewardship before God. Our time is a matter of stewardship. We only have so much. We need to use it wisely. The talents that we have, we need to use them for the glory of God. How are we using our talents? And number five, our family and our children are a matter of stewardship. God has given me gifts. God has given me things in this life. He's given me a physical body. He's given me some possessions. He's given me a certain amount of time. He's given me some talents to use. How am I using those things? They're a stewardship. I have a responsibility before God to use the things he's given. And my family is a matter of stewardship also. God gave me this family. Psalm 127 says that children are a gift of the Lord. And Proverbs 19 says, houses and wealth are the inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. I've been given a wife. I've been given children and grandchildren. They are a blessing. How am I using them? What kind of example am I setting for them? All these things are a matter of our stewardship before God. Think of the attitude. We need to have a proper attitude toward material things. I think this is one of the great challenges that we have in the 20th and 21st century. We live in such a materialistic age. We live in an age where we have so much as far as this life is concerned. And so, as we have said, we need to teach our children that the material things that we have are a gift from God. And we need to use them wisely. James says in James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. Yes, the spiritual blessings are from above, but also every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Coming down from the Father of lights. Who is that? That's God. From whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Matthew chapter 6, the passage we chose to be our scripture reading. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where the thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't lay up treasures upon this earth. Don't let the material things of this life get your life and get your head out of proportion of what's really important in the world round about us. We need to have the proper attitude toward material things. And as I said, this is a real challenge. We've all been so greatly blessed. I was listening to a man this week in a podcast talk about, he's from India, and he still travels back to India. And he was talking about the poverty in India. All of you know that I've made some trips to China, but boy, China's a first-class country compared to India and some of the slums in the world. And he was talking about some of the conditions and the millions and millions of people that have almost nothing and live in squalor. We can't begin to imagine. We live in nice homes. We always have enough food to eat. We drive around in cars. Some of us have swimming pools. We're living in the lap of luxury compared to some of my friends in China, much less people in places like India. And the squalor in some of the cities in India, we have truly been blessed. Blessed beyond, I'm afraid, what we can even imagine. And our children need to get a glimpse of that. I'm not talking about making anybody feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Or make your children feel guilty for the things that we have. But first of all, we need to recognize it. We need to appreciate it. And we need to understand not only that we should appreciate it, but that because we've been blessed so much, we need to be generous with others. There are people in our own cities, in our own society, who don't have what we have. And as we have opportunity, Paul says in Galatians, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. And so we need to be generous. We need to teach our children. That's a great, great gift that we can teach our children to be generous with the things that God has blessed us with. And to be generous with the Lord's church. On the first day of the week, we gather together to worship together, to remember the death of God's Son, and to give. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Upon the first day of the week, lay by in store. We need to be generous. We need to teach our children to be generous in giving to the needs of the gospel. Remember what's most important. What's most important is not the material things here, but but the gospel message getting to other places in the world. And along with this, and I just listed this separately, but teaching our children not to have a carnal mindset, and that's hard. That is so hard in the world that we live in America today, because we are so blessed. And yet, we need to work hard at teaching them the priorities and not having a mindset of carnality. And what I mean by that, an attitude of loving things. What do I love? What am I going to do with my money? Am I focused on my things and my plans and my pleasures? That's what the world is focused on. The world is focused on my things. The world is focused on where I'm going to take my next vacation. The world is focused on my plans for retirement and how I can live like a millionaire. And that's okay. If you've worked hard and you've prepared, I'm not suggesting that we can't enjoy the fruits of our labors to some extent. I'm just talking about the mindset and the attitude and the hoarding up of wealth that Jesus warned us about. So don't lay up treasures upon the earth. That doesn't mean we can't have a retirement account. It's talking about the attitude. What's our attitude towards the material, fleshly, carnal things of this life? And number three today, teach your children self-control. This is vitally important in our world. We live in a world where there's not much self-control. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Becky and I were reading either this week or last week recently in our daily Bible readings about David's mighty men from 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles 11. And David had a group of men that are called his mighty men. There are about 30 of them, as I remember. Someone has referred to them as David's special forces, to put it in modern day language. And it lists in those chapters some heroic feats that they did. One man by himself. I'd give you his name, but I didn't have space on it. It's so long, I hardly had space on it. I couldn't have pronounced it had I put it on there. He killed 800 men by himself. Others did amazing things. Another killed 300 by himself. Another is described as almost a one-man stand against the Philistines while reinforcements came. Heroic feats by David's valiant men, David's mighty men. In ancient times and today, heroic men, heroic soldiers, special forces, they're respected and honored, and rightfully so. We respect those who fight for our nation and protect our liberty, and some of them have done amazing things, but they were well respected in ancient times as well. Now, with that in mind, think about this passage again. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth the spirit than him that taketh the city. Soldiers were highly praised and highly respected. But more important than that is the man that controls his anger. The man that's able to rule over his spirit. We need to be teaching our children self-control, how to rule over their spirits. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, you're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness. And the last in that list is self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Brother Barry Kirchival wrote this, "Your child's ability to exercise self-control or self-discipline will be the main factor in his success or failure as an adult. Furthermore, much of his happiness will depend on his ability to control his emotions and his fleshly appetites. The patterns he will learn while under your control will either bless him or haunt him the rest of his life." And that's very, very true. A child learning self-control is invaluable for them as an adult. If they've learned how to control themselves, and to control their angers. How many individuals have lost jobs because they couldn't control their tongue? They didn't know how to take correction from their boss. And someone says, well, their boss deserved it. Well, they didn't have a job then either. We need to learn how to control our tongues, and we need to teach our children at an early age. Well, there's different ways, of course, in which we can teach them. And we can teach them self-control. All of us have emotions, and all of us are going to experience emotions. And our children are going to experience emotions, whether joy or sadness or disappointment or anger or fear or worry or jealousy. There's all different kinds of emotions that we can talk about. But children can, at an early age, be taught to control their responses and their feelings. They can be taught not to throw tantrums. They can be taught not to just throw themselves on the ground and kick and scream. They can be taught when they're hungry that they have to be patient. Mommy's getting dinner ready. And it'll be ready in a few minutes, and you need to just go in the other room and play for a few minutes and be quiet and wait for Mommy and Daddy to finish getting dinner ready. Or they want to watch TV or video games, and they can learn there's more important things to do. And they don't have to play video games 24/7, 365. And so, children can be taught. But it's not easy. We end again this morning by just saying a word of praise to our mothers. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. That's true of motherhood and fatherhood. Be not weary, don't get tired. Oh, you're going to get tired. And it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, and there's going to be times that you're ready to pull out your hair. Don't be weary in well-doing. You're going to reap the benefits if you faint not. Being a mother is hard work. It's really hard work. In smaller letters there I put, our moms at church, we appreciate the challenges that are before you, the hard work that is before you. Christy and Lauren and Rebecca and Ariel and Caitlin. I wrote them down there, otherwise I would be struggling to remember and make sure I didn't forget someone. But we appreciate the job that is before you. But you're up to the task. We know the character that you have. We appreciate you and love you for the work that you're going to be doing with these children. You're to be praised. You're to be celebrated. You're to be encouraged. There's no greater job. There's no more important job than the job that you now have in raising these children. It's more important than anything your husbands do at work. It's more important than anything that you do at work. It's more important than what President Trump does in his work, or our governors, our leaders of our nation. It involves the soul of your children, and you will have the impact that no one else will have. And so, the Lord needs you to teach and to train the saints of tomorrow. God bless you in that work. We love you. We appreciate what you're doing. And we hope that these two lessons will be the beginning of some encouragement and help for you.